This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, House and Senate conferees are working on the details of a compromise tax reform package. We'll talk with a member from both chambers to see where our priorities stand in the negotiations. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joins us with the House perspective. We'll also talk with her about the latest on her work as the former chairman of the Select Investigative Committee on Infant Lives that led to a Department of Justice investigation of Planned Parenthood. And Oklahoma Senator James Lankford will give us the Senate perspective on tax reform and the latest on the status of the effort in the reform bill to remove the free speech restrictions on pastors, churches, and other nonprofit organizations. All that is coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. And we'll also be taking your phone calls a little bit later, so stand by. That's coming up here on Washington Watch. If you miss anything on your way home while you're maybe doing your Christmas shopping, if you stop to pick up something, or maybe it's just milk and a loaf of bread, whatever, everything's archived at TonyPerkins.com. So later this evening, pick it all up right there. In fact, you can go back and listen to some of the previous interviews that we've done. TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Okay, the House and the Senate are working this week to reconcile their differences on the first tax reform, federal tax reform initiative since 1986. Now, there are several pro-family initiatives that are involved in these negotiations, issues like increasing the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000, significant, increasing the individual exemption rates, shrinking the overall tax rates for corporations and for families. This is a big boost to middle-income families, allowing you to keep more of your hard-earned money. And, of course, there's also the issue of the elimination of the Johnson Amendment. That's the provision from the Internal Revenue Service that limits the free speech of pastors, churches, and other nonprofits, this threat that their tax exemption might be lost if they get, quote-unquote, political. That was in the House version of the bill, but not in the Senate version. So we're going to be joined in just a moment by Marsha Blackburn to get the House perspective on the negotiations that actually staff was working through the weekend. I know that because I was sending we were sending information in to them to help work through a few of these issues, working also with the White House, actually the president and his team, wanting to see the Johnson Amendment repealed. That has been a priority for him. One of the first policy initiatives that he spoke about on the campaign trail, and again, I mentioned this yesterday, but I was at the White House yesterday, and the president, again, emphasizing his support for that initiative, removing that 1954 provision of the tax code that really has stifled the free speech of pulpits. Now, not initially. It took a while, but the left has used it, always sending these threatening letters at election time and even on issues. And that's my big concern beyond elections, is the Johnson Amendment has been used to silence and intimidate pulpits on issues. Now, that's another topic in terms of should pastors ever be intimidated by the government from speaking the truth? Well, the short answer is no. I mean, the apostles speak very clearly about that in Acts when they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, do we obey you or God? I mean, it was a rhetorical question. Look, we should not be concerned about our tax-exempt status. We should preach the Word of God. But we've seen churches that have come under attack for preaching issues that were not politically correct. And so anyway, this takes it off the table. Now, the president, by executive order, has removed it but that's only as good as he's in office. And so this would be a statutory change. So anyway, we're going to talk more about that with Senator James Lankford when he joins a little bit later in the program. But now we're joined by Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. She represents the 7th Congressional District of the Volunteer State. She is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology and the former chairman of the Select Investigative Committee on Infant Lives, which led to what was just announced recently last week, the Department of Justice now investigating Planned Parenthood over its sale of fetal tissue. Marsha, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. It is so good to be with you. And I have to tell you, we were so encouraged last week to know that the Department of Justice and the FBI are taking up these criminal referrals that I gave them, presented to them, based on the work that we did at the Select Committee, investigating what was happening with Planned Parenthood and the sale of the baby body parts and fetal tissues.
Well, this it was a groundbreaking investigation. I mean, it took you about a year as your committee went painstakingly through this process, looking at the information, hearing testimony. And there was a lot of criticism that your select committee, this panel, was a witch hunt, that it was politically motivated. But the evidence was pretty strong. And from your work, the Senate then picked it up, and the Senate made the same recommendation to the Department of Justice.
That is correct. The Senate did carry forward with some of our findings. And, you know, they also made referral to, based on the work that they did, the add to that they did, DOJ has responded to them on their investigation also. And the good thing is it shows when the House does its job, when the Senate does its job, and we make these criminal referrals. I now have 15 criminal referrals. The Senate has a criminal referral, and the FBI is conducting their investigation. DOJ is conducting their investigation. And hopefully, from all of this work that we have done, we are going to find out what is going on. Did Planned Parenthood, by contracting with these third-party entities, did they break the law? Did the third-party entities benefit? Did they pass some of that benefit to Planned Parenthood? We'll begin to get to the bottom of that.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, 7th Congressional District of Tennessee, my guest, former chairman of the Select Committee on and Select Investigative Committee on Infant Lives that looked into what was initiated by these undercover videos from the Center for Medical Progress that it was unbelievable, the stuff that they caught on film, that Planned Parenthood and others involved in the trafficking of these aborted baby body parts. Marsha, I have to say that, you know, there's a lot of congressional hearings and investigations. We saw it on Benghazi. We've seen, Fast and Furious. We've seen all these different things over the last decade. I could be wrong here. I don't know. But this appears to me to be one of the few that's actually led to the Department of Justice actually taking action that might lead to holding people accountable.
You're correct about that. And that is why we were so pleased. We were so painstakingly careful as a committee, as the committee members, and the credit has to be shared with them and with our staff. We were painstakingly careful in how we went about doing our recipients, handling the request for additional information, how we held our hearings, the witnesses that came to the hearings, the way we went through the accounting process with a forensic accountant, the way we sought the advice of medical ethicists and of those that are medical researchers. And, you know, Tony, what they all instructed us was to be very precise in the discovery work that we did, and to pass it forward in a manner that would be appropriate for requesting an action per whatever the finding was. And I was very encouraged to learn that the state referral, the criminal referral we did in New Mexico a couple of months ago, the judge ruled that that trial can move forward. This is so significant because it deals with the way the consent forms were written and what women were told or not told about what was going to happen once they aborted that baby. And I will tell you, I think New Mexico Right to Life and the group that is handling that lawsuit on behalf of one of these post-abortive women, I think that they will win that lawsuit. But it was such an honor for me and very humbling indeed to be able to deliver this body of work that is going to be one of the most significant bodies of work that has been done in support of our pro-life positions.
Without question, in my mind, without question. My guest, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, represents the 7th Congressional District of Tennessee, and she just stepped off the House floor. Marsha, I know you guys have been voting, and I want to transition now to the issue that's kind of really before us this week, and that is the negotiations between the House and the Senate on the tax reform bill. What can you tell us from the House perspective? How are things looking?
The things are looking really well. Our goal is to make certain that this keeps it to middle class tax relief focus, that everybody sees a tax reduction, and that our small business families, those small business owners, are going to see a reduction in their taxes. And we want to make certain that the mandate, the individual mandate to purchase Obamacare, goes away. This is something that has caused a tremendous financial burden to so many of our families. And, you know, when you look at my state of Tennessee, last year we had 122,000 families that had to pay the penalty because they could not afford to buy the Obamacare product. So they paid the penalty to the IRS. Some of those penalties are as high as $2,500, depending on how many people are in your family. Now, Tony, here's the terrible thing that is really so awful about this. Out of those 122,000 families that had to pay that penalty, 100,000 of those families had incomes, joint household incomes less than $50,000, and they were forced to pay money to the IRS. So we have to get this off the books.
With no question about it, and we're very, very close. Marsha Blackburn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And again, kudos to you for your work on the Select Investigative Committee that's brought us to this point where maybe we'll see Planned Parenthood brought to justice.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for the support. Take care. Bye-bye now.
All right. Merry Christmas. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. You can check out her website. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right. When we come back, we're going to get the Senate perspective with Senator James Lankford. Don't go away.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Hey, I just want a little plug here before Senator Lankford joins us. This program, as I've said before, is made possible simply by the generosity of folks like you. We receive no government money, no advertising dollars. This is brought to you from supporters across this country that understand the importance of having a source other than fake news. You hear straight from the newsmakers. I don't edit them, don't cut them up and give you a sound bite and then, you know, give 5 minutes explaining the 5 seconds that I gave from the newsmaker. I actually let you hear from them and let them talk. And you hear from the guys that oftentimes you don't see on CNN. Now, some of you do, obviously. But I want to give, you know, the champions of our values that are on Capitol Hill each and every day fighting for the things that you and I believe in. And there's a lot more of them than you think. And I want to give them that platform. And so this program is made possible because of donations. And if you would like to partner with us between now and the end of the year, everything you give will be matched. And so if you'd like to make that contribution today, partnering with us, give us a call. Got folks standing by, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or you can do it as well at TonyPerkins.com. Okay, I'm going to get the Senate perspective on the tax reform and in particular where the key provision that removes the muzzle that has been placed on pastors, churches, and other nonprofits through the tax code by the Johnson Amendment put into the tax code back in 1954 by Lyndon B. Johnson. Joining us now, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. He serves on the Senate Committee on Appropriations and Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and has been championing the Johnson Amendment repeal in the Senate. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be with you again, Tony. Thank you.
Well, Senator, we had Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn on just a few moments ago, giving us the House perspective on where she sees this tax reform compromise in the conference committee. how that's coming together. What's the perspective in the Senate?
Perspective in the Senate is try to be able to move it, find where we have common ground. We are exceptionally close on the tax proposal as a whole. There are some areas where there are differences, but I don't think any of them are insurmountable. Quite frankly, there are good ideas on both. Take the best of both and put them together. The Johnson Amendment is an issue that was in the House bill. We were not able to get it into the Senate side. We're working, obviously, to be able to make sure that that does survive not only the conference between the two, but then it also survives what's affectionately called the birdbath. On the Senate side, that is trying to evaluate, does it meet all of the Senate rules under reconciliation, which the Senate rules and their old rules here, and they're not, I have some people say that they're just rules of the Senate. They're actually in statute. It's part of the 1974 Budget Act. So that what we call the Byrd rule is actually the Byrd law, but it's a much higher standard in the Senate than it is in the House, and we're trying to be able to make sure whatever language is there with the Johnson Amendment meets that statute's requirement.
Well, it's clearly a priority for the president. I was at the White House yesterday. I told our listeners this yesterday. I was in a meeting with the president, evangelical leaders, and he again, in fact, told me, please help us alert the folks across the country. This is important. We need to free the pulpits to be able to speak. And I'm hoping your colleagues understand the importance of this, not only to the White House, but to evangelicals across the country.
That's correct. It is exceptionally important. I've tried to articulate that. I've met with all the members of the conference committee on the Senate. I've met with most of the members on the House side of their conference committee. They are lockstep in support of it and tried to articulate why this is so important, why it's not only good tax policy, but it's good policy, period. It's a terrible idea to be able to say to people, because you work at a nonprofit institution, you have less constitutional privilege than people that work at another nonprofit. And I've had people that have said, well, you know what, they work for a nonprofit, so they get a certain government assistance, and so because they pay less in taxes or no taxes, then they should have this muzzle from the government. I say, well, I'll tell you what, if you receive any government benefit, then you think you should have less speech. That should also include anyone that gets a government grant of any type, anyone that gets a Pell Grant going to college. Does that include anyone that is in any kind of government-assisted housing or in SNAP food stamp program? Does that extend to all of those individuals? And, of course, they say no. So then why is it any different than you work for a nonprofit? A person that works for a nonprofit should be treated the same as someone who works for a for-profit or someone who's unemployed or retired or a student. They all have freedom of speech, and they should apply equally.
I agree, although I think that notion that they put forward that nonprofits are the same as others receiving government benefits is a misnomer, because we're talking about money that people, individuals, give to nonprofits. It's not the government's money. It's
correct.
The people's money. And they get a chance to write off a portion of it, as opposed to a direct government contract or subsidy going to someone. And so the left sees charitable contributions as actually a government benefit. I don't think it's a government benefit. The government benefits from it because we've seen the multiplier effect.
Right.
And I know you've looked at this because you've been concerned about how this tax reform might affect charitable contributions.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns that I have here, and it's one of the great unknowns. Most individuals give to charities because of their passion to be able to take care of people, because they articulate a message that they're consistent with, because they take care of the homeless, that they feed individuals, that you know, they're basic things that they love to be able to do to be able to help their neighbor. There are some individuals that give because of tax benefit as well. They're typically higher income individuals that are tracking that, and I've had folks say it makes no difference at all, and I always laugh and say, okay, December is the highest donation month by far in every nonprofit.
Absolutely.
Because of the tax issue. So there is a difference on that. The unknown is how much of a difference that is and at what brackets that starts to make a difference. Many people in lower brackets get no tax benefit right now at all because they don't meet the standard deduction, but they still love to give and be a part of that.
So we're going to work
through this.
Hey, we're up against a break, Senator. I know you you just stepped off the Senate floor to call, but very quickly, what do our listeners need to do to help on the Johnson Amendment?
I think it's calling any member of the Senate, their own member of the Senate, their own member of the House, and just be able to reaffirm when you do tax policy, make sure that you also include the Johnson Amendment in it. That's important to me, and it's important to every nonprofit.
All right. We'll absolutely do that. Senator James Lankford, thanks so much for joining us. Merry Christmas. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Merry Christmas as well, Tony. Thank you.
All right, Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. That Capitol switchboard number so you can reach your two senators and your member of Congress is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. All right, when we come back, we're going to the phones to hear from you. Don't go away.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. Okay. I'm going to go to the phones here in just a moment. But I want to talk a little bit more about a couple things. Here, be thinking. I'm not going to take the calls just yet, but be thinking about this. This is what I want to talk about today. Now that the Department of Justice, a week ago, following an investigation by the House, which lasted over a year, this has been going on for, let's see, when did that start with Center for Medical Progress? I think it goes back to I think it's been at least 3 years. I'll have to check that out and get my brain trust to look at that. But this has been going on for quite some time. Congress did a year-long investigation in the House. The Senate took it up. Now, finally, the Department of Justice is investigating this trafficking in baby body parts for profit, which is illegal. Now, you can – there's a whole process by with the consent – If a patient gives consent, then the fetal tissue can be used for research. Well, that's a part of the thing that the select committee looked into, that there was it was done improperly, and the monies that Planned Parenthood and other clinics received far exceeded the expenses, which is what the law simply says: you can be reimbursed for expenses. That's it. So now that the Department of Justice, with good cause, is investigating it, is that enough for Congress to zero out the funding for Planned Parenthood? Remember, they receive almost $500 million a year. Came very close in the Obamacare repeal, quasi-repeal, to eliminate federal funding of Planned Parenthood. And that failed because John McCain went the wrong way in the Senate. Now, Government has to be funded every year. It just did a short-term CR, which goes to the 22nd. Then they will probably fund one into next year, and then they're going to have to do some a longer-term funding. And is that when they need to zero out Planned Parenthood? That's going to be politically explosive. So let me know what you think. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Do you think Congress should zero out funding to Planned Parenthood now the Department of Justice is investigating them? All right. While I'm letting the phone lines light up, as folks are calling in, 866-372-7234, what do you think? Should Congress now zero them out, Planned Parenthood, that is, now the Department of Justice is on the case? I mean, look, there's enough evidence to suggest that the law has been broken. And anyway, even if it's questionable, why should taxpayers be forced into this partnership with the nation's largest abortion provider? It's time to act. I was right. The videos were released back in 2015. So we're going up on close to 3 years. This information's out there. Folks see it. Taxpayers need to speak up and let Congress know enough is enough. 866-372-7234, the number to call to give us your opinion whether or not Congress should cut the funding to Planned Parenthood now that even the Department of Justice is investigating. Far from a political issue, it's a criminal issue. Criminal, which is really what the last administration was, lawless. And they, boy, did they give rise to lawlessness. Okay, well, the phone lines are lighting up. Keep calling. I want to just hit this one more time. The Johnson Amendment. Okay, extremely critical. I told the president yesterday when he asked, he said, look, I need you to tell your folks to call. Don't call me. He said, I'm on board. I need you to have your folks call their senators and their congressmen and make sure that they are supporting the repeal of the Johnson Amendment, this muzzle that's on churches and pastors and other nonprofit organizations. So let me give you that number again. And by the way, let me commend you. I guess it was week before last, I put out the call over a judicial nominee and one of Louisiana's senators who was blocking Kyle Duncan to the to a position on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the next day, the senator reversed himself and came out in support of Kyle Duncan. And we know for a fact that a lot of you called. All right, when we come back, we're going to the phone lines. But let me give you that switchboard number again. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. That is the Capitol switchboard. You can reach your two senators and you can reach your member of Congress. You don't know who it is, just tell them your zip code and they will connect you with the right office. 202-224-3121. When we come back here on Washington Watch, I'm going to be taking your phone calls at 866-372-7234. Is it time for Congress to cut off the funding, the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood? That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill. and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Okay, here's what we're talking about today. We had Marsha Blackburn on earlier in the program. She was the chairperson of the Select Investigative Committee on Planned Infant Lives, which looked into Planned Parenthood and their trafficking in aborted baby body parts. That led to the Senate Judiciary Committee looking into it, which they also referred to the Department of Justice for criminal charges. And now, last week, the Justice Department announcing they are, in fact, investigating Planned Parenthood. Should they then, the Congress, being that being the Congress, should they cut off federal funds to Planned Parenthood? $500 million a year of your dollars going to Planned Parenthood. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Michigan, where Artis is on the line. Artis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call. And I think this is so long overdue that Planned Parenthood be defunded. This should have happened long, long ago. And I'm wondering, how did they ever get funding from the taxpayer? How did that happen?
Well, it goes back to the 1970s. They started receiving federal funds to provide services to low-income women. Actually, in 1970. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it looks like a good idea. You know, they were probably doing, of course, you know, that was prior to Roe v. Wade, which was 1973. So, you know, then they eventually, although Planned Parenthood has never been a good actor, they've always been a bad actor. Their whole, you go back to the very beginning, and it was a racist organization focused on exterminating or eliminating undesirables. And so once the court declared open season on the unborn through Roe v. Wade, well, they quickly became the nation's largest abortion provider. And what has happened, the way it works, so I'm going to be very clear on this. Up until Obamacare, there was what was called the Hyde Amendment that every year was put on appropriations that prohibited tax dollars from going directly to fund abortion. But they receive their money, that $500 million that they receive, give or take a few million, is generally for medical services and for family planning. But here's the deal. In the Reagan years, there was a what they called a kind of a wall of separation where if you received it, those are Title X funds is what they're called. It's under Title X of the federal code, which gives money for family planning. Those dollars, if they received them, they could not have abortion in the same facility. Therefore, the overhead could not be shared. Well, Bill Clinton did away with that. And so that's been the law ever since, where they can do in one room, they could be doing quote unquote family planning, counseling, and in the next room doing abortions and the overhead being covered with tax dollars. I mean, money's fungible. And of course, they spend millions every election cycle. Now, I know that's their political arm. But I'm of the mindset that, if you receive direct federal grants, I don't think you should be able to lobby and engage in election activities. I mean, I think you should be able to lobby for policy, but I mean, in terms of engaging in elections like that, because what you should be able to do one or the other, really.
Well, they shouldn't be able to receive that money at all. That's blood money.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Congress will deal with it. Artis, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening and calling in. Hopefully they'll do something with it. This is the perfect time. I mean, they keep fumbling this. Again, it goes back to John McCain. He had a chance, and he voted against the Obamacare repeal, which would have taken care of this. All right, let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on. First of all, thanks for keeping the subject going and keeping it alive. I mean, I'm telling you, American Family Radio is like the only place where we hear people talking about it and with the effort to, like, stop it. And I called both my senators and my representative, Tom Rice, just today, and I call them regularly. And I'm like, today I asked him, did you vote for the CR? Oh, yeah, they voted for the CR. And I'm like, well, that's funded Planned Parenthood. Why'd you do that? And, it's like I started this pro-life group in my church like 3 years ago. And the apathy, this is a Catholic church, the apathy is just, it's unbelievable, the apathy. And the problem and they go with it. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Pete, thanks for keeping it in the front of the discussion of your church, and thank you for making those phone calls. Those are critically important. I know that for a fact. So keep doing that, okay? Pete, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. And as far as defunding Planned Parenthood, that should have been done long before this. It really should never have started.
Yep.
I know the lie that so many women believe. And I've talked to women at work, and they're like, oh, but they provide health services for women. And then when you tell them they are the number one abortion provider in the United States, and if you go back and you look at the funding or the founding and Margaret Sanger and what she was planning, what she was hoping would come from this, I work with a couple of women who they're Black, and when they learned that, they were stunned. had no idea.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has done a great job in trying to reinvent themselves and put a spin on what they do. This whole claim that they're all about health services, the major revenue stream for them is abortion. I mean, that's why they, if they didn't have that, there would be very little of Planned Parenthood.
But the thing is, so many people are not educated as to the purpose, especially the reason it was started. And when they go and they read these things, they don't just educate themselves. They get angry. And they're like, that's wrong. And I'm like, well, if you know the truth now, then you need to also educate other people. And
well, good for you, Carol. That's what we
government.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dollars to pay for abortions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Carol, for engaging in those conversations and taking on a quote unquote politically sensitive issue and having a conversation. I mean, that's how we change people's minds, is we have a conversation with them and we share the facts. And Carol, I thank you for being a avid listener of Washington Watch and being equipped with the facts and a supporter of Family Research Council. So thank you, Carol, for calling in. Let's go to Cameron in New Orleans, Louisiana. Cameron, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I would just like to discuss a little bit about government-funded depopulation and why this is not a priority for them to defund abortion. It's because we have, it's not that the world can support the amount of people that we have, it's that our consumerism rates have gone way up, and they're getting a lot worse. And the government doesn't want mass consumerism. It's already on a very large scale, and they're funding depopulation. It's their main priority, one of their main priorities. So they don't. This is why it's such a struggle for us to get this defunded, because it's not a priority of theirs, and they don't care what our values are. They don't care about moral, because it's all about whether they're safe.
It might be their short-term policy, but long-term, Cameron, what that will bring about is an implosion of our economy, because the only way our economy works, the only way to grow the GDP, is to essentially maintain or grow our population. And when you are, I mean, our capital comes from the growth of the population. And if we're restricting the population, we have policies that do that. And by the way, we've dropped below the 2.1 rate of reproduction, fertility rate, which is just basically allows us to stay at the replacement level. We're now down to about 1.9. And that's a dangerous place to be, because you can't grow the economy that way. And so what we will be like Europe, will begin this decline. And so why are we funding something that will ultimately undermine the very strength of our economy, of course, our economy's weak, so will our defense, national security. It's a downward death spiral. And Europe is far ahead of us on that. Cameron, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Houston, Texas, where Cody is on the line. Cody, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I have three beautiful children, and then my wife and I decided that financially it wouldn't be the best decision that to have anymore. And so we did the responsible decision or the responsible thing. And I went and had a vasectomy, and the government doesn't pay for that. So they shouldn't pay for the people that make irresponsible decisions, knowing that they're going to be sexually active and that that is a possibility that they will become pregnant. And then they want to end that baby's life and use my tax dollars to pay for it.
Yeah, they call it reproductive freedom. I think reproductive freedom, I mean, first off, is being we should be talking about reproductive responsibility. And you know, look, I think you and your wife, if you have three kids and that's what you can afford, take care of and raise, then you know what? I mean, that's where you are, and we exercise that responsibility to take care of the children that God gives us. I'm blessed to have five. Would even like to have more. I think kids are a blessing from the Lord, but I'm not asking the government to take care of them. Actually,
right.
the less government involvement in my life, I think the better. And I think a lot of Americans, those that supported Donald Trump, have the same perspective. You know what? Just get out of our way and allow us to do life. And don't take my money and give it to somebody who's going to be working at counter purposes from what I'm doing. It breeds irresponsibility.
Right.
And Cody, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch, and Merry Christmas. I mean, look, Planned Parenthood, if the left is so in love with Planned Parenthood, let them fund Planned Parenthood. You know, let the left, you know, all the liberals out there, let them write their checks to Planned Parenthood. And let them fund it. If they want to, they want to aid an organization that is the number one abortion provider in the world, hey, have at it. I disagree with it. And I will fund with my dollars, as I do, care pregnancy centers. And I hope you do as well. I hope there's over 1,500 of them in communities all across. And actually, I think there's almost 2,500 now. All across the country, and I hope if you're not a part of one that you are, because that's a privately funded counter to Planned Parenthood that often gives these women who are looking for help in these crisis situations a true choice to choose life, and strictly underwritten by generous donors, mostly religious Christian people. And you can be a part of that, and I would encourage you to do that. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. But Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night, and I hope you will as well. But look, make these phone calls, okay? Extremely important that you contact your members of Congress. As I told you before, a constitutional republic is not for spectators. It's for participants. And our government only works when we work. So 202-224-3121. Make sure that's plugged into your smartphone. That's the Capitol switchboard. Call about the Johnson Amendment. And you can, while you're at it, call about Planned Parenthood funding, because it's going to be coming up again soon. All right, until next time, thanks so much for joining us. And I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.